In fact, the agenda seems to be set by two global players that are not even members of ASEAN, China and the United States. The US President Barack Obama was also invited, and he illustrated why he thought relations between the US and ASEAN are crucial.
To keep the peace and deter aggression, we've deployed more of our most advanced military capabilities to the region, including ships and aircraft to Singapore. And by the end of the decade, a majority of our Navy and Air Force fleets will be based out of the Pacific. And our allies and partners are collaborating more with each other as well. So our alliances and defense capabilities in the Asia Pacific are as strong as they've ever been.
Now, of course, you can imagine that the local superpower in the region, China, is not happy with that expansion. And as you may know, they are claiming large parts of the South China Sea. Some of these claims were rejected recently by a court in The Hague in favor of the Philippines. Steve Tsang is head of the China Studies at the University of Nottingham. He says that the decision may have changed some of the dynamic at the ASEAN meeting.
The Chinese government simply does not accept the ruling, and therefore they will not really be changing the way how they are dealing with it. It is quite possible that they will continue with some more island building in some of the disputed rocks. So that's not going to change. But in terms of the region and the wider world, there is much more of a clear clarity that the position of the Chinese government is problematic and that the case of the Philippines is rather strong. That will make things much more complicated in terms of how they're going to engage with each other. But it will give the Philippines an opportunity to take a slightly softer approach to try to get the Chinese to negotiate on a more reasonable basis.
When ASEAN was created in 1967, it was, among other things, to form a buffer against what was perceived at the time as a threat of communism. At the time, North Vietnam, Laos, and of course mainland China. What is left of these old principles? Well, not much. As you know, two of the more recent ASEAN members are Vietnam and Laos, communist countries themselves. Penelope Faulkner, the vice director of the Vietnam Committee for Human Rights, says that ASEAN guidelines prevent it from being too critical.
It was created almost 50 years ago, and Vietnam joined it quite a bit later. But the initial thing was as a buffer to communism. But in fact, its politics have been non-interference into each other's affairs, consensus, and a kind of a protectionism of their own group. And the fact that Vietnam is a country, a communist country, which violates human rights and which has been singled out by the international community, is something that when you talk about that in ASEAN, then ASEAN says, oh, you're interfering into another country's affairs. And that's one of their basic principles.
And on the point of China, the issue of the South China Sea seems to split the organization, she says.
Within ASEAN, there are countries which are more supportive to China. There are countries which are beginning to be more aligned with Washington and the United States. And this is very obvious with the issue of the South China Sea, in which several members of ASEAN have claims and China is blatantly setting up posts and airports and building artificial islands.
Allies of China, of course, include Myanmar, where in spite of democratic reforms, the military that support Beijing still hold the key to power. And so it is to be expected that ASEAN will try and stay away from politics and focus on trade, investment and development. After all, it's a region that handles one-third of the global shipments and where the economic crisis didn't hit as hard as in the rest of the world.